Caroline Willie D. Mays. Will Levis is up at the podium. We'll send it over to him now.
That interception's on.
For
on
sure. There. Yeah, I think I've been relatively pleased with how the balls came out of my hand, and I think just that knee-jerk reaction on Sunday was just felt like, you know, just wasn't coming out as accurately or as wasn't putting it in the spots that I was wanting to as often as I wanted to, you know.
What's been the biggest challenge on third downs, you think? Well, has it been pressure? Has it been, you know, time? Has it been distance? What's been?
Well, going back, I think not necessarily this past game, but just the operation of things of, you know, pushing us back 5 more yards or either not getting the snap off or not getting a protection call made clearly to the guys up front so that, you know, that pressure doesn't get there. But going back to this game, you know, it's a combination of everything, but it's hard to really put my finger on one specific thing, but I feel like we did well those first few games that I was playing in those third down situations, and we saw that lull in these last couple weeks. So we're making that a point of emphasis this week to continue drives. And it's funny how it just feels like you have like a 15 play drive or a 3 and out. And we're just trying to find ways to keep going on those 15 plays drives and keep giving our defense more the rest that they deserve.
Before the Steelers game, how you kind of circled that one on the calendar, you know, Thursday night. Looking forward to this one too, a Monday night playing Miami. Is this one you kind of eyed as well?
For sure, yeah. And I knew that we only had a couple, you know, primetime games for the season. And so knowing that we had, you know, Monday night football in Miami, especially expecting them to be a solid team, which they definitely are, and we're excited to go out there and compete with them. But Monday night football doesn't get much better than that. I've been watching it since a kid, and being able to go out there on that stage for the first time is going to be really special.
How has the process been for you as far as, like, staying away from playing hero ball and, like, trying to win the game, the whole game on one throw, you know, kind of realizing the journey's over, living to see another play, all those cliches? How's that been?
I think it's just knowing that my role within the team is, you know, just being the quarterback and doing my job, whereas maybe in college there are certain times, like, you know, you can feel like you're supposed to be that guy on the field. You're supposed to be, like, the best player on the field, and you have to go and do things that equate to how people see you and how you feel about yourself. But I think I've just kind of relegated back to knowing my role and that I only need to do my role. And if I do need to maybe – or if there's an opportunity to do something a little extra to get a couple more yards and to make a throw that might be a little riskier, but I know I can make – it's just continuing to kind of understand in those situations and when it's necessary to not put the ball at risk, but you know, push the ball downfield or make plays with my legs and decisions in that respect. So it's continuing with the reps that I get to, you know, understand my role and get better within it.
What did guys say to you in the aftermath of you forcing and recovering the fumble on Sunday in the aftermath of that play? What was their reaction?
I had taken off and I didn't hear the whistle and I came back, so it took me a while to kind of get everyone get back, and we were just like, what the heck just happened? But I told him, I was like, yeah, I was like, I think he fumbled it. Like, should be our ball first down. But no, we were just focused on continuing the drive and getting down there and scoring points. But I don't remember any specific pats on the back or anything.
What did your family say to you on the helicopter hit you took, you know, when you ran for first down?
Yeah, it's not the first time I've seen it. So, you know, my mom definitely is worried about my safety out there sometimes, so got to make sure that I'm continuing to protect myself and not putting myself in harm's way.
Who are the people that kind of, when you get down in a critical yourself, who are the people that kind of lift you up, whether that's here in this building or outside these walls?
Yeah, I definitely got to thank my coaches in here and coaches and players that have just been able to lift me up after either, you know, games or drives or just even things in practice that have come up and been able to just bring me back to that neutral state that we got to stay. And I just got to thank my coaches especially for that, to be able to just be those people who understand how my mind ticks. And now that I've spent some months with them, they know kind of my personality and how, you know, I can react to certain things. And they've done a good job of understanding that and coaching me the right way.
You seem to be fairly self-critical and demanding excellence from yourself, but you're also very confident in, you know, your work and your demeanor. Where did you kind of learn to balance criticizing yourself but remaining confident in your ability?
I think it starts just with my upbringing with, you know, my family, and I'd say definitely my mom and dad, and then my grandfather, who's definitely just a big proponent in my life of instilling the values and that I live by today, and just making me the fierce competitor that I am, I feel like, and keeping you know, respect and even keeledness and calmness as a priority, while also having that fiery edge. And just, it's going from being a young kid where that fiery edge kind of took the dominance in that respect, but getting older and evening that out and understanding kind of like what to take from each and how to go ahead and be the best leader and competitor that you can.
I mean, touched on the conversation you had with DeAndre during the game last time, but as you look back at that, I wonder, any chance you think maybe could have or should have been less demonstrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe I forgot I was on TV. But, yeah. But, no, it's just one of those things that just happened. If I would have gone back, I would have been more neutral about it for sure. But that's just part of the, you know, things about being an NFL quarterback and learning along the way of how to be a leader and how to get your guys going. But definitely would have handled it differently if I would have done it again.
When you guys talk about flushing losses, is the process any different coming off a game like that one in the way you go about doing that?
Oh, yeah, I'd say it's tougher for sure. I mean, Coach spoke to just how tough these past couple days were in the facility with for him and the coaches for not having all the guys in here for all the time. And just when you come off a loss like that, how it just kind of festers for a little bit and it hurts. But I think, if anything, it gives you more motivation to go and attack that next week to give you that motivation to go out and get a win even more so. So even though it hurts for maybe that 24, 48 hours afterwards, we've turned the page and we're moving forward. And I feel like the energy and the focus that we've brought throughout these past couple days going into this week of work has been really good. And we're looking forward to get down to Miami to get a win.
Last one. Looking at the tape, what makes them so difficult? What stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean they're solid all throughout. And coaches talked about, you know, previous teams that they've had down there. This is a different identity. We feel like, especially defensively, like they're coming after the ball. The mentality they play with is strong, is fast, is physical. Wishing Phillips a quick recovery, but you know, having him and we're expecting Van Ginkel out there on the end too. We know that he's no slouch, and even though he's going to be the backup in that position, we know we got to be ready for him. And with Chubb on the other side, you know, we got a lot to handle. So coaches have done a good job with the game plan and how we're going to be, you know, attacking them. And you know, at all phases of their defense, they got good players, so we got to make sure that we're in tune with it. Thank you guys.
All right, there you go. That was Titans starting quarterback Will Levis. Caroline Willie D-Mays were live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. We'll chat with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow in 20 minutes. Want to go back to one thing that we heard at the very tail end of Mike Vrabel's press conference. Mike Vrabel was asked about the exact thing that we've been talking about the past couple of days after the news that Craig Aukerman has been relieved of his duties is, where did that decision come from? Mike Vrabel was asked about it. This was Vrabel. If we're able to get that from Mike Vrabel's press conference. Again, Mike Vrabel's asked about the decision surrounding Craig Aukerman. This was Vrabel.
Mike, how much do you talk to Amy during the season? Is there like a typical schedule for that? And what is her message to you and maybe the football team been during this time?
Well, always supportive. You know, we don't have a set. There's not a set day. You know, I mean, I try to keep her updated. Rand keeps her updated. You know, and then when we talk, it's, you know, we're all, you know, frustrated that we're in the position that we're in, and we're all working hard, extremely hard to figure a way out of it. And so that there's a level of support to what we're trying to do, and always.
That this is going the direction she wants it to go?
I've, you know, tried to answer those questions as consistently as possible. I'm focused on the football team, the players, you know, getting them ready. And, you know, that's all I can focus.
Talk to her. Did she talk to you before the Aukerman decision?
We talk regularly.
Did you talk
Thanks, guys.
Before the Aukerman decision?
Okay, so not a question that Mike Vrabel wanted to answer about the Craig Aukerman decision. What do we make of that? What do we take away from Vrabel's lack of a response there is maybe the correct term.
Good question, mm-hmm. Especially when you put the two answers together. That was a nice job by Nick there to do that, because he basically said, you know, it's not like I talk. He said, I don't have a set day that I talk to Amy Adams Strunk. But you get the feeling there was a conversation either Sunday yeah. night or Monday
right.
before he comes right to the podium on Monday and announces it first off. So it's a fair question to ask. I don't blame him for not wanting to reveal the details of that. That's his business. And I think the next step is to, you know, for the reporters, if they want to know, there's ways to find out within the building without Mike Vrabel handing you the answer. That's his prerogative mm-hmm. as to whether he wants to reveal how the process went, her involvement or non-involvement. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame him for – you can't expect him to – yeah, here's exactly – we talked at 9 a.m. this morning. Like, rarely does somebody answer the question like that.
Nah, yeah.
I mean, how often do they walk away from the podium when asked about it?
I mean, you're right. I mean, once you saw where he was heading, you could have, you know, if you wanted to answer the question, you could have stayed at the podium and just, okay, let me answer right quick, and then I'll leave. But, you know, you got off the podium and did not, you chose not to answer the second part to Paul's question. But it was, you know, he did give an insight of, you know, the communication as far as with Amy. He said, listen, whether it's myself or Rand, we keep her, you know, aware of what's going on daily. So, you know, and rightfully so. You know, it's she's the boss, you know, so it doesn't have to be anything in depth. But if you are making moves and doing things, it's like, okay, again, so you know, I know you're not going to, you know, step in and veto anything that we're doing. But so you know, this is what we're doing. It's your team. I want to make sure you know everything that's going on. So maybe it could be just that. But because of the way the team's going, you know, we sometimes tend to believe it's a little bit more than what they are explaining.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing with what you mentioned there, D-Mace, you say it's keeping Amy Adams drunk updated with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Is it always them keeping her updated, or is it Amy Adams Strunk starting some of those conversations? Mm-hmm. Because I believed yesterday, so maybe it's not necessarily fair of me, but I believed yesterday that this was an Amy Adams Strunk decision. And whether it was or wasn't, what Mike Vrabel said there or didn't say there, how he decided to approach that question, makes me feel even more that that was an Amy Adams Strunk decision. And it makes me feel like the way that he responded to it, maybe it's because it was coming from Paul, mm-hmm. I don't know, that Mike Vrabel wasn't very happy with the decision either.
He probably would have liked to do it his way. Not to say he wouldn't have made a change, but judging from what we've seen of Mike Vrabel, those changes usually come after the season because he doesn't want to interrupt much that's going on during the season. So, which would lead us to believe now that this probably more than likely was an Amy thing. Like, listen, there needs to be some changes made. Yeah, you can do it in the season. I can see if we were still in a playoff hunt. See, that's another thing. If they were in the playoff hunt, then maybe they wouldn't have fired him right now.
Well, they were in the playoff hunt when she fired John Robinson, so maybe that's
yeah,
not.
But they thought they were sitting. But again, I go back to coach in the middle of the season, GM in the middle of the season are two different things. One does directly affect what you're doing on the field. One doesn't. Me firing a GM doesn't directly affect what we're doing with the guys that we have now. I understand about bringing in guys in and, you know, being able to, you know, sign guys and release guys, and that ultimately does affect. But I think last year was different. When he got fired, I'm telling you, those guys on the team, I'm not going to say they didn't care, because I'm sure they enjoyed John and made, you know, built a relationship with him, but it's not to the point where it's going to affect me on the field. Now, Ackerman, the fireman, does affect what they do on the field, so much so that, you know, when Mike talked about adding Quinn and him being just learning that terminology, because Ackerman coached it different. Maybe Quinn may coach it different from Ackerman coached it, you know? So it does directly affect us on the field. But the GM really doesn't.
Well, let's go back to when the decision was made on John Robinson. Eventually, mm-hmm. Amy Adams Strunk on the record basically said, it was me. I did it. Right?
Yeah.
She did. She yes. owned up to it. Yeah. She said, I didn't think he was the right guy. Mm-hmm. I did it. And all of us thought at the time, I think, I don't want to speak for everybody, I definitely thought, it seemed very emotionally charged
yes.
and reactionary
yeah.
to what happened
Eagles
in
game.
Philly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This has the same feel to it, emotionally charged, as you said, Derek, embarrassing. Mm-hmm. If they had won and Stonehouse hadn't been hurt, maybe it wouldn't have quite been as emotional or as embarrassing. Mm-hmm. That's why I brought it up to you guys the other day mm-hmm. after it happened. But the fact is, that is what happened. You lost your punter for the year. The chain reaction is the holder isn't there. You lose the game in overtime, and it's at home, and it's stunk.
Divisional rival.
So is there a little bit more emotion tied to it? Mm-hmm. So you can't rule it out, right? We were pretty sure that they were, to Paul's question, did you talk to her? Mm-hmm. I would imagine that there's a good bet that they talked.
I think they now, talked.
What
Who
the conversation
started that conversation?
Was, that's, yeah. But,
Who initiated
but what,
the conversation?
What the conversation was is a whole other thing. Or, you know, whether she went and said, we got to make a change here. We got to make a change here. That's her prerogative to do that. And maybe Mike Vrabel said, I don't want to, but if that's how you feel, I'll do it. Or maybe he was in lockstep with her and said, look, hey, we got to do it.
That didn't sound like somebody that was in lockstep with the decision.
But again, we don't know. I'm just comparing the John Robinson to this one.
Yeah.
Very, very quick reactionary kind of thing.
Yes, where it's very obvious. The special teams, obviously, it was more obvious. And then you fire your general manager right after the player, the star receiver that he just traded, just whooped you, literally and figuratively,
right.
with the towel spanking the goalpost.
Mm-hmm. And we also know for a fact, Mike Vrabel has never fired a coach during the season.
Exactly. That's the key. That he has never fired a coach midseason, even when there is probably a
probable cause
to fire coaches in the middle of the season. It was very justified. I mean, if you wanted to fire
Todd
Downing in the middle
anything.
Of the season last year,
yeah.
nobody would have said anything. No. But he didn't. He waited until the end of the season. And if Craig Aukerman had not gotten fired after that Colts game, I would probably assume that he would have gotten fired at the end of the season mm-hmm. if Mike Vrabel did decide that he wanted to move on from Craig Aukerman. But he didn't. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of times any sort of firing in the middle of the season, coach, coordinator, positional coach, general manager, mm-hmm. that shakes things up. That's a distraction in the locker room. What does Mike Vrabel say all the time? Eliminate distractions, you know, drown out the outside noise. I have all the information I need. This was an Amy Adams drunk decision.
Well, will she eventually say that?
She may.
I don't think that she wants to.
Like she did last year.
Because she can say that she fired John Robinson because who else would? It's Mike's job to hire and fire coaches.
True.
Yeah, so she may get away with not having to answer that question.
Right.
And just putting it on the coaching staff. Like, he made changes and, you know, let me know that there were going to be some changes made. And I said, okay, there you go.
Uh-huh. That's what she said?
Yeah.
Is that what she did?
She said it just like that. She said it just like that.
I'm interested to see what Jonathan Hutton thinks about it. The firing of Craig Aukerman, where this team goes from here, also his evaluation of the Titans and Colts game on Sunday. So we will catch up with Hot Mike with Hutton with Rose, Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks Madison this Sunday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. That is this Derek Mason, not new MTSU head coach Derek
exactly.
Mason. A lot of confusion about that today. Pregame shows from 4 to 6 p.m. for our NFL pregame show ahead of the Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins on Monday Night Football. Give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. It is now Hutton O'Clock, a little bit later than usual this week, given the Mike Vrabel and Will Levis press conferences. So Jonathan Hutton joins us now. Hutton, appreciate you being flexible with our schedule today.
Sure, of course, of course.
So Mike Vrabel announced on Monday that he decided to part ways with special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman after the special teams nightmare on Sunday. What was your initial reaction to that move?
Well, it was a move that, to me, was bound to happen after that game. I mean, the way that those plays went down was embarrassing. And for the second punt, which was, you know, more or less a fumble, because before Stonehouse could try to get the punt off, his knee was injured. And the player didn't even have to like lay out to go after the actual ball, just ran through him. And ran right by the Titans offensive line four snaps after the same thing happened where they overloaded the left side of the front on the punt with the first one that was returned for a touchdown. Yeah, I would just say embarrassing. And there's no doubt that after a game like that, in the season that it's been, where they are finding, you know, bad teams find new and creative ways to beat themselves. And the Titans did exactly that after doing so many things well against the Colts. And when you add all of that into a season that has been, you know, we got to coach them up and do all these different things, and players have to execute. And that was the epitome of everything coming to a boiling up to the surface. And that's something we don't see, quite frankly, with some of the worst teams in NFL history, let alone what we saw on Sunday against their rival at home in the AFC South.
And Mike Vrabel was asked about it today. Paul Kaharsky asked him the question, did you have conversations with Amy Adams Strunk before making the move? And Mike Vrabel said, I talk with Amy a lot, and then just kind of walked off the podium, not really willing to entertain questions about why that move was motivated. Do you think that was an Amy Adams Strunk, an ownership-motivated move? And if so, what does that mean for this team?
Well, I mean, do I think it was encouraged? Sure, I do. I think the fan base would encourage it, too, based on what they saw. But do I think that Vrabel was told what he has to do on his staff immediately? No, I don't. Because, I mean, Todd Downing stuck around after the DUI when they came back from a win against Green Bay, and things got really rough down the final stretch of the season there, where Vrabel's had control. Think about the coaches that have had control of their staffs. All do, but specifically just here. I don't think Vrabel's the type of coach that gets told that he has to get rid of a coach immediately and just stand back and do it immediately and answer a question the way he did today. The way he answered this today was similar to me to how he answered questions about whether or not he was being kept in the loop on the general manager search throughout the final seven games or so of the season last year. Call me naive there, but I don't think Vrabel's the type of guy that's just going to do something to his staff if he wants to wait until the offseason. I think this is a Vrabel-initiated move to his staff, one that was needed, and one that he's not done before. He made a change in season, and I don't think that came easy to him.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an easy decision, you know, that he had to make. But I think back to Hutt, to, you know, the firing of Mike Mularkey and him not wanting to, you know, relieve the team of the offensive coordinator at the time.
Right, so right. Munchak was the same way.
And that ultimately was the decision made. So maybe Amy had a hand in that too via the GM at the time, John Robinson. And John said, listen, either you need to change some things from a coaching standpoint, and Mularkey chose not to, and ultimately we believe that is why he ended up getting fired. So there could be something to that as well, because this is something that we have not seen from Mike, and it makes no sense to fire a guy when you're completely out of the playoffs. Now, if you want to do it because it was just that embarrassing, okay, but I would tend to believe that there's a possibility the owner was disgusted with what happened and said, hey, listen, you need to make some changes.
No doubt. Mace, no doubt she was, right? Mm-hmm. But, again, this is – if you're behind the scenes here and you're just – I'm just trying to think of when to step in and when not to. Mm-hmm. Stepping in out of the playoff race and making a change at the special team spot, it was needed. Mm-hmm. But I don't think now it's not like you add any playoff presence or you're preparing for the offseason any more than what you were. Mm-hmm. That would have been earlier. And I mean, look, let's go down this path a little bit. If Vrabel wanted to play Tannehill over Levis, then I mean, it's got to go back to ownership there too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was a you must do this now. I don't think that's how it goes down. I do think it was emotional, you know, from just a pissed off standpoint, I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion of it. And I think it started on Sunday evening, right? Like that's when it would have gone down. And it should have. I'm not saying that ownership wouldn't sign off on it or shouldn't encourage it or say this needs to happen. When are you doing it? But I don't think Vrabel just automatically jumps and does it if he's frustrated over the fact that he doesn't want to change his staff until the offseason.
Now, Hutch, should we think too much into, because this will be the second time that this happened, and I'm not talking about the coaching.
Right.
I'm talking about players being released and then players subsequently putting something out on social media.
Yeah.
Cryptic codes of it wasn't our fault. There's more going on than what is being, you know, talked about. You had, you know, defensive tackle. After he gets released, he puts out a cryptic text. Now you see Monty Rice and he puts out another cryptic text. Is there something, do you believe there's something going on? Because I look at it from this standpoint. When you start losing, and it's evident that one side is sort of holding up their end of the bargain and the other side isn't, then eventually it comes to head and that's how things are started and things leak out. This to me was the defense getting tired of holding the water when everybody else isn't doing their job. And then when you release people, it's, why did you do that? We're doing our job. You need to be concentrating on the other side that isn't doing their job, because we see in the people that are released on defense, but we don't see the guys that are released on offense, and they're the problem.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the response or the posts from Monty Rice compared to Jahlil Johnson, though, are different from this angle. I think Johnson, I mean, he's back. You know, he was signed back after he made the social post and then subsequently deleted it. Monty Rice, I'm sure, did the same. But he's back, but he was complaining about the offense. I think if you're in the locker room and defensively you're allowing 20 points or less and you're losing game after game after game, that's going to be frustrating. And I think he was echoing the sentiment of many players on the defensive side. Monty Rice, on the other hand, doesn't come across as a guy who wants to come back or is trying to even portray the idea that he's going to re-sign with the Tennessee Titans because he feels like he was held back. That's the sentiment that he posted for an individual performance. And, I mean, he needs to look in the mirror on that. Gibbons came in and automatically took his spot. Go make a play. Mm-hmm. Be accountable. And that was not the case. He was I think he was posted more about the fact that he's got a chance to go to a different system and he's finally out of the Nashville locker room. I don't think it was about the offense in terms of what he was posting or trying to direct the attention to.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutt, I shudder to think the answer to this here, because I think I know the answer. But what do you think?
They're not going to win another game, Willie.
Well, I wasn't going to go there. But
okay,
what do you think this defense looks like without Jeffrey Simmons the next few weeks here?
That's a huge question. Because what does this team look like without Jeffrey Simmons? I'm watching him from the press box on Sunday. Beyond just his, I mean, he is the most feared player for the opposition in a game plan.
Yes.
It's Jeffrey Simmons. When he's on the sidelines, he is up next to the out of bounds line, and he is yelling at the offense, you know, on a third and short. He's into it, and the leadership factor for Jeffrey Simmons in the locker room, echoing the message and trying to keep things on the straight and narrow, on the path, I think that's also imperative for someone to step up. And I don't know who that is, but it's not going to be at the Simmons level and the Simmons importance to that locker room. And this is already a team that, you know, with Mike Vrabel, you know, winning games and how they went about winning close games. And without the leadership factor and the qualities that he possesses. And at one point, I'm thinking that Henry's in that same boat on Sunday when he's out because of the potential of concussion protocol. And they lost the best player, the most impactful player on every phase of their team Sunday. And Simmons is at the top of the list. Tart also gets hurt on Sunday too. So that's a death blow to the run defense. I'll put it that way, because beyond just the leadership qualities and the energy and the focus and the drive of the playmaker, I don't look across that defense right now and find playmakers on a consistent basis other than Jeffrey Simmons.
And I think that sort of sets the table for what's to come here, because we're combining the backdrop of what we're talking about, the relationship between the owner, the GM, the coach. We know that at the end of the season, they have major decisions to make. I thought Teron's article really does a great job of spelling out. They have money to spend. They have big decisions to make, and they're going to make those. But can they get through the fire here? Because it's like, of course, I'm thinking of this because it's Star Wars night at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. But when the Millennium Falcon is going into the asteroid field and C-3PO is telling Han Solo, hey, the odds of getting through this asteroid field aren't very good. And Han Solo says, don't tell me the odds. But we know the trouble's coming here. This is going to be a tough thing to get through, and they've got to get through it, and it won't be easy.
Oh, it starts with Miami on Monday night.
Yes.
Ooh. That's the other thing. That's staring you straight in the face after you lose a game that you should have won based on the things that you did well against a team that it's a winnable game on the calendar. And this one, this feels like Philly of last year to me, where you're going into it and you just know the guys on the opposite sideline are going to show up and show out. I mean, we're talking about the beyond just Tyreek Hill and Tua, the running game in Miami with Raheem Mostert.
It's lethal.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Wilson and A-Chain and that whole group, that's where you'll see the impact of not having Jeffrey Simmons, because that's the heart of the defense, and Miami will attack the heart of the defense on Monday night, and it will open up so much in their passing game. It could be a long night, and what feels like, oh, this can't get much worse based on what we've seen in the special teams aspect of this team, I think it could get a lot worse, and that's where you really see the trend of just going down the other side of the hill towards the offseason instead of just trying to maintain and focus and keep that quality about what has been the past Vrabel teams of finding a way, next man up. And there was a romanticism about how Vrabel won games, you know, in Seattle in 21, the Buffalo during the COVID week, all of those moments where, Willie, the team played poor the week prior and they were the underdog, or they were playing the Kansas City Chiefs, and they just responded in the fashion that embodied what was Mike Vrabel football. We do not see those games from this team anymore, at least not currently. And I think that's a factor that they've got to figure out, specifically from the head coach. I mean, he's got to figure out how to get this team playing at least in some way closer to what it used to be than what it is. And let me also just throw this in too, Willie, because you've been around this team. Mace, you were in the locker room. Caroline, you have a good sense for the vibe. There is an underlying story. There's something there that is not normal for this organization behind the scenes. There's a lot of chatter about other jobs or about who's in control. This is not normal for the Tennessee Titans organization. And this has been going on a while. This is something I'm not bringing up now to cause or stir up anything, but I do find it a bit odd that we're still talking about who's in control, who's happy and who's not, and why it's gotten so bad, and what the path is, what's the plan. This is unusual just from the chatter. Normally, it's squashed, it's quiet, and it goes away if it even starts. And it started, and it just continues to be there, even based on the way he answered the last question today.
The Titans are the biggest underdog.
Do you agree with that, Willie?
I would say,
is this a Floyd Reese, Jeff Fisher type feel to you?
I think the tension at the end of the Floyd Reese, Jeff Fisher was, you could feel it a little bit.
Undeniable.
I would say the lowest it sank to me was when they had the Tommy Smith.
Went
after Bud Adams passed away, they really sunk to a very low point.
But the organization, like publicly and privately, I think everyone knew that was the issue. Like in this case, it's like we've seen what they've done, but what they're not doing now. And there's just this weird vibe and tone to it that they're not trying to put out, but by not doing that, they are, if that makes sense.
So going forward, you're trying to preserve the pathway for Will Levis to develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now you don't have Jeffrey Simmons. It's going to be tough. They're the biggest underdog in the league coming up this week. 13 points.
Well, I would take Miami. Maybe even an alternate
13's
spread.
High for an NFL game.
Very high. That's like a college game.
Saving grace is Henry should be available, right?
Well, we hope.
At least you have that.
Yeah.
Get the extra day.
Exactly.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Hutton, appreciate you as always. Appreciate your flexibility today. We'll chat with you next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Have a great week.
You too. Appreciate it, Hutton. All right, let's get into your phones on this coming up next. Everything is on the table. What we heard from Mike Vrabel, what we heard from Will Levis, and some of our takeaways from TD's article on ESPN.com. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, tune in to 102.5 and 106.3. The game tonight for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on San Francisco at Memorial Gym tonight. Tip-off is at 7 p.m., pregame beginning at 6:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. We've got some text in our text line, so unless we have some thoughts,
let's go to the phone.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our dear, dear friend, Indy Ben, has texted, and I'm shocked. We've only gotten two texts from Indy Ben this whole week. I'm surprised he didn't want to get his comeuppance a little bit.
Well, I guess he feels when you know, you know.
I guess so.
You don't need to, you know.
He knows his team is pretty lucky to be 7-5.
Indy Ben texts and says, Titans have no shot in this game against Miami. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Captain... obvious.
Yeah.
Kind words.
It doesn't look good.
He sent a card with that as well?
Hot take of the century. Their
shots are slim to none. I wouldn't say they don't have a chance to win. They always have a chance to win. But will they win is a different story.
Miami at home seems to have an extra gear. They looked very good on the road against Washington last week. They just absolutely destroyed the Commanders.
But if you go back and the games where they didn't play so well, New England, they lost. Buffalo, they lost. No, New England, they won. But New England held
them. Slowed them down a little bit.
Yeah, slowed them down. At least slowed Tyreek Hill down some. Let's say that. The Chiefs completely slowed them down. And the Bills did. You know, and that was after the 70-point whooping they put on the Broncos. So there are ways that you can slow this team down. But you're talking about two teams, the Bills, who are, we believe, is a better team than the Titans. And then obviously the Chiefs, mm-hmm. we think, is a better team than the Titans. So, you know, Indy Ben, if Indy plays Miami, I guess you would say the same thing. They have no chance in Sam Hill to win that game.
It took two blocked punts.
To beat the Titans.
And an injured punter. And a missed extra point.
And
to
losing
beat the
Jeffrey
Titans.
Simmons and Derrick Henry.
And Derrick Henry.
During the game.
Yeah. So maybe that's why we haven't heard a ton from Indy Ben this week. I heard Robbie and Joe having this conversation at some point this week. I don't remember what day it was. Who has more yards? The Titans or Tyreek Hill?
Sometimes you can overlook mm-hmm. a team. I think that's the only shot. Mm-hmm. This coming from someone who's watched 3 decades of Vanderbilt football.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, the Titans aren't going to get a lot of attention from the Dolphins mm-hmm. this week.
The Monday night football element of it, I think, maybe adds a little extra, you know,
maybe.
Little pizzazz to it, but we'll see. Another texter said, did you have a thought? Sorry.
No. I was just, I was going to say, if Tyreek Hill has more yards than the Tennessee Titans offense, somebody needs to be fired.
Okay, you're not wrong about
somebody
that.
Somebody needs to be fired.
If you let Tyreek Hill go off.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you let him wreck the game like that, yeah. Somebody
you already
needs,
let
yeah.
Miles Garrett wreck games.
He might have
Zach
200
Moss.
In the air. He yeah. really might.
He might. I don't know if Titans have any DBs that can keep up with Tyreek Hill. I don't know how many DBs in the National Football League can keep up with Tyreek Hill. Mm-mm-mm. One texter says, I think firing the special teams coach was Amy and Rand's decision. I think the first year Rand is letting Vrabel do his thing, and then Amy let him keep his boys this year. But come next year, he won't be able to save them. Well, if it was an Amy and Rand decision, then how is that Amy letting him keep his boys and Rand letting Vrabel do his thing?
I don't know. I mean, we can sort of speculate on both sides. I think we believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Amy had something to do with it. Whether she, you know, put down an iron fist and say, fire him, mm-hmm. or she made the call and say, hey, what's going on? That was embarrassing. Something needs to happen. Like some neat changes need to be done or made. But I mean, we don't know. We're just speculating. Yeah. Hopefully, I do hope it does come out, you know, one day, whether she made the call or Vrabel made the call to fire Aukerman.
I feel like it was Amy, but yeah, like you said, no one's going to know. No one's going to tell us. All right, coming up next, I'm going to shift to the Predators because we have a new chapter in the storybook of Tyson Barrie. And Barry Trotz had some spicy words on Stillman and Company yesterday about Tyson Barrie. We'll get into that, what that means for this Predators team. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. You can see your Predators star players up close and personal. Get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Cody Glass and Colton Sissons, who's playing red hot. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company.